How have you not seen this?
And welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This? As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows, joined today by Mike Czar.
Hey, what's up?
And Kamari Stevens.
Just crumbling herb.
And today we tackled the 2012 action movie Dread, starring Carl Urban, Olivia Thirlby, Lena Headey from Game of Thrones, plays Cersei Lannister. And it's based on the comic book, of course, the same name, well, Judge Dread. And a much more successful take on the comic than the previous Sylvester Stallone vehicle, Judge Dredd, which, oh boy. I love this movie. It's one of my, not only just one of my favorite action movies, one of my favorite movies because this is one of my favorite comic books. And I feel like in the rundown of films that have done a very serviceable job of translating and being accessible outside of just the comic book fans, I think Dredd really knocks it out of the park. And it's also just a fucking amazing action film. So, that being said, Mike, how have you not seen this?
I don't know, dude. I loved this movie. I was so in the whole time. Yeah. I had this, like, notebook full of notes. It just really piqued my interest on a lot of levels. I think I've seen the one from the 80s.
The 90s?
Right. It felt very clunky. That's, when I say, it makes you think of the 80s. Because
yeah.
Stallone and
yeah.
just, like, the suits... Even now, I don't love seeing superhero movies where the superheroes wear the suit.
Uh-huh.
Because on a fundamental level, I feel weird about superheroes. But it's so hard to see that in real life.
It doesn't like uniforms.
But yeah. It's better when it's more stylized. And I made a comment to you before, I liked how stylized this was.
Okay, cool. Kamari, how have you not seen this?
I vaguely remember the one from the 90s. I, like, remember Rob Schneider in it.
Yep,
or something.
Yep, you remember correct.
My stepbrother had the game, and I kind of associated it with Demolition Man, I think, when I was younger.
Yeah, well, Rob Schneider was in both of those with Stallone.
Oh, shit, I didn't even get it. So, I think that's kind of how, and then when this one came out, I missed the whole 3D, and I felt like, from what I read about it, I was like, you know, if I didn't see it in 3D, you know, I kind of just... You know, let it fall by the wayside. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm not the biggest, like, action movie guy, but it was, like, a really good action movie. It seemed pretty straightforward and had a lot of killing in it.
Yeah, fuck yeah. A ballet of violence, I would say.
Yes. I couldn't put it more eloquently.
Cool. So that's out of the way. Yeah, and obviously it seems like you guys both really liked it.
Yeah.
Fucking happy.
It was dope. It was dope. It was very, like Mike was saying... I would have wished to see it in 3D, but it was just like so stylized, like with especially with the you know, the drug thing they had,
the slow-mo sequences
and everything with smoke and just how they just set it up, and you get like a good idea of what that drug pretty much did.
You know?
I mean, it had more of a purpose than just like, oh, we're gonna do it smoke and slow-mo. It was like, all right, it served to the story. So no, it was really really dope.
One of the things that I want to talk about right away before we jump too far into this, Carl Urban as Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
He's so fucking good.
I
love Carl Urban anytime he pops up in anything, whether it's fucking Aomer in Lord of the Rings,
whether it's
nameless assassin in, I think it was Bourne Supremacy, the second one that
he
did.
Bones
McCoy in the new Star Trek movies. Him and Simon Pegg are my favorite part of J.J. Abrams' Star Trek movies. God, Carl Urban's so good. Fucking Doom. He's so good in Doom, too.
I've never seen Doom. Hold on.
We're just going to do a Carl Urban series with you and me.
Wait a minute. Well, because see, I've seen... Carl Urban is one of those guys I've seen in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And he just... I feel like... He's a utility player.
Yeah.
Like, in a sense, like, he's useful. Like, you know, you can kind of fit him into different roles. And this is, like, one of the few roles I've seen him in where he's been in. Like, I've seen him in the Chronicles of Riddick. I've seen the first Star Trek. Fucking The Lord of the Rings and stuff. And it's like, oh, when you mention him, I'm like, oh, yeah, he was in those. And he kind of just, you know, put it in. But, no, he fit the role perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like it was, you know, they... he did a lot with what he had. He didn't have to, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like,
yeah.
speaking-wise, he didn't do, but he did. You felt his presence, like,
yeah,
the whole movie.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite things about this this version of Judge Dredd is that you never see his face. He never gets
to help. That's what I was like, you never see it. And that's, like, commitment for us, especially
that's
the actor.
That's amazing.
Here.
And that's how the comic books are. Like, yeah. I love the comics. Like, when I had to sell my comics a year ago because I was just, like, hard on money and stuff, like, literally the only comics I kept were my Hellboy comics and my Judge Dredd comics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I love the art in them, I love the stories. And in the comics, like, Judge Dredd, the whole thing, it's supposed to be kind of like this, it's almost satirical, but it's also really good. It's like, he's supposed to be this faceless personification of true justice, but also to an extent totalitarianism,
yeah,
too. And he knocks it out of the park. In the Stallone one, like, he wears the helmet in the first 10 minutes, and then, like, he never wears the helmet again except for, like, the end where he rides his motorcycle off. And it's so weird. Both of these movies end with Dredd riding into the sunset on his motorcycle, basically. So I think that's really fun. But then also, that's the ending of The Dark Knight, too.
Yeah.
It's just, like, him riding off on a motorcycle, and then, like, he's giving that monologue. He's like, the megacity, the justice. But, yeah, I love that they committed to that, and, like, you never see him take the helmet off. And on top of that, like it's not like a Die Hard. It's not like a John McClane. Like, there are at least three or four moments. I think this is my fourth time watching this movie now. Where, like, I was watching through, I was like, he never really quips. There's no witty one-liners. And even, like, after he kills Lena Headey at the end, like, he's just looking down. And, like, just his reaction is just, and then he just walks away. Like, nothing witty to say, no catchphrase, no yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. So good. Mike, you look like you're waiting to pop. Jump in here, man.
There's so much.
Yeah.
Oh, Kamari was mentioning slow-mo. The first thing I even wrote about was, I'm so glad that slow-mo isn't a real drug.
Yeah.
Because I would do it, I would only do that all the time. Like, I was watching that and being like, holy shit, that looks like the best thing you could ever do. Like, and I didn't understand how pushing people off the building on slow-mo was a punishment. That seemed, it just seemed like...
Because they know they're going to die.
Yeah, but it seemed like...
Imagine you know you're about to die, and, like, you just want it, but, like...
But the way the slow-mo, almost to me, the way it was just, you were so obsessed with every little... I mean, like... When you are high, like, it's just very obsessed with all the minutiae of everything that really it just didn't matter. You were kind of...
But it dulls your perception of time. So, like, if you're sitting around, like, having, like, it'd probably be great if you were having sex to do slow-mo.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Get thrown off a fucking balcony off the 200th floor of a fucking housing complex? Probably not a great way to get high.
I will say, okay, I have two problems with this movie.
Okay.
One... And otherwise, I love it. I love everything about it. Okay. The only two problems I have, one, I'm not into psychics. I'm not into psychics and stuff because I always feel like it's just an easy cop-out. I get it in this movie, and it led to interesting places.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I feel like it would have helped if we saw more of a range of, like, they're like, oh, mutants. Oh, this one's a psychic, and that's the only one we see.
Yeah.
Like, just to me, psychic always just seems like two, because you could have really played that character. I don't know. I never read the comics.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she actually is.
She is a character in the comics.
But is she a psychic? And
I think so, yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say, it just... Otherwise, that plot still makes sense without her having that extra little thing. It just... That to me... And then the second thing, and this is unforgivable. This is unforgivable.
Okay.
I think I made a comment and, like, oh, I see where this is going in the movie. When they're in the fucking processing plant... And they're putting together the stuff. And I was like, oh, one of those things is going to bust. They're all going to inhale the slow-mo. And we're going to have a slow-mo three-way judge fight. And it never happened. I was like, how did you not, when you were writing this movie, like, that would have been... Like, oh, let's introduce the slow-mo. That would have been the first thing I thought.
So that seems really cool. Like, literally, here's the way that I feel that would have played out. Like... if they had written it in, like, part of it too is, like, I feel like it kind of, like, it was 3D just because, like, because they do that with a lot of movies,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like, because this, like, I mean, it's a well-known title, but it doesn't have, like, the name recognition of, like, an Iron Man or a Batman or a Superman.
And then even, like, the star, Carl Urban, isn't, like, you know...
Yeah, he's not, like... Yeah, exactly. He's not, like, a Brad Pitt by any means. He's fucking amazing. He's great actor.
And Olivia Thirlwell.
Olivia Thirlwell, yeah. Juno, yeah. She's really good, too. I think, like, literally that would have played out. Part of it, I think, is there were already four or five pretty intense slow-mo sequences. Yeah. So I feel like they didn't want to go back to that well too much. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I feel like the way it would have actually played out if they had done it was Dredd would have popped in his respirator because he's got, like, just that complete situational awareness, and the fight would have been over in 10 seconds. Yeah. Like, it would have messed up the other guys, but, like, he would have just dropped both of them.
Yeah,
Mike Czar just really likes the slow-mo.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I love the slow-mo.
Mike Czar wants to live in the shitty future of, like, the mega cities a lot so he can do this fake drug. Slow-mo.
A lot of the notes I wrote down, actually, were I really like also the design. Uh-huh. You're saying, like, the shitty mega, that's what made me think. Yeah. All the trucks, all the cars, though, they're very box-like.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they're also
yeah.
very tall. Yeah. So everything, I love how it's designed, how everything, you're very made to feel tight. And like, then you get put in the big building, and it closes down, and then it gets tighter. And then it gets on another floor, and it gets tighter.
Yeah, it looks like very manufactured. Like, almost like a factory. And I mean, that's kind of how they set it up. And it's that, like, yeah, this is how it's ran like this. And so they really kind of gave a good glimpse of that world.
Yeah, and I think part of it, too, at least with the vehicle... It's weird because, like, the megacities are basically supposed to be, like, metropolises in America.
Yeah.
This was actually shot in Johannesburg, in South Africa.
South Africa.
District 9 was. And it looks like it was shot in Johannesburg, South Africa. Which is, like, I still think it's a good look, but, like, it's definitely different. Because, like, in the future, like Judge Dredd looks a lot like Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Basically, like, minus, like, the flying billboards and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I will say that's one thing that was good about the Sylvester Stallone one was, like, the set design was pretty solid.
Yeah.
And it also, like, equally captured that. I still think it was really good. And like you guys say, it definitely captures that claustrophobic feel.
And I feel like that's especially relevant because there's that paranoia where... Yeah. Overpopulation. That's definitely been popping up a lot in movies. And I thought this was a good, very good example of that. And the men you need if you're, everyone's so claustrophobic. And the whole idea of Judge Dredd is that there's too many people. Bureaucracy doesn't work anymore. It's just impossible. Well,
and then those, like, terrifying statistics, like, they say something like 17,000 crimes reported a day, they can respond to 6% of those.
Yeah.
God, no.
Which, like, is insane. Yeah. Like, that's less than, what, 2,000 of them that they're able to not solve and take care of, respond to.
Yeah.
Which is fucking terrifying.
It's insane.
Like, that one, Peachtree, where all the shit was going down. They're like, hey, how did this happen? Because the cops don't ever come here, man. It's fucked up.
Yeah, and that was so good, too. Like, then you get that sense of, like, gentrification, too. And, like, that class disparity.
Yeah.
Like, that whole, like, oh, we never had a judge up in here. And then again, just, like, right back, just like, well, you got one now.
Yeah.
Like, not even, like, trying to be humorous. Just, like, that's just...
No, man, Carl Urban, he played this role. Like, it's some people that I feel like... I've never seen the Stallone one, really, but
Stallone is so.
I want you to kind of explain that to me after, but it's just like he just plays it like it seems like it was on the paper. He didn't try to add too much. Like, you know, some people would try to make it bigger than what it is. It's just like, hey, this dude is he's no nonsense. He is by the book and he handles his fucking business, and that's what he is. When you handle your fucking business, you don't go around saying, like, goofy shit and being all bigger than yourself. You just, like, fucking handle business.
Yeah, like I said, like, he's that faceless personification of just absolute justice.
Though, I think, in a way, that's why I kind of forgive the psychic thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I forget her name,
Anderson.
Anderson. Anderson's character is, one, she's a woman.
Yeah.
So, and there's that whole idea of women feel more than men, the more accessible to their emotions.
Yeah, more
plus
empathetic.
Now the psychic adds to that.
Yeah, definitely.
But I thought, and also another thing I really thought, gender studies-wise, this is a crazy movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's, the mama is literally like the Madonna whore complex.
Yeah, like you have the yin and yang and of, then, like, both sides of the coin with those two characters.
He's... And it's just, and when you say it, it just sounds really kind of fucked up, but it's, he forces his way into the building, and she's like, no, 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 and then finally, the last thing he does is stick that thing in her mouth, and then white shit comes out.
Oh, man, you went real deep.
I went real, that's what I was just thinking the whole time.
There's intended readings, this is an interpreted reading, definitely, I think.
Dude.
But obviously, like, you have solid examples, like, that up, so, I mean, I think that's really interesting.
But then I also thought
where you went with that.
Yeah, but I also thought it was interesting, because it was also that sexual dynamic between the Anderson and that guy they brought along with them.
Yeah.
And at one point, like,
the sexual dynamic of he was a piece of shit and wanted to rape her the
whole
time.
Well, and then, but at one point, she arguably, with the mind thing, rapes him.
Nah, yeah, she takes control. She pisses on herself.
To me was like a really, I really like that scene.
Like, kind of violates him.
Where it was like, oh, fuck. And then right after that is when she got no nonsense.
She
got really cold.
Well, and you even, that's one thing I like, there's a callback, because right before they go in, are you ready? She's like, he's like, you don't look ready. Then after he gets shot and heals himself up and they're ready to go out to mom, he's like, are you ready? She's like, he's like, you look ready. It's like, that's so good. That's like the closest thing.
That's perfect.
Him cracking a smile.
He mentioned gender studies. I won't say, it's not even against your take of the mama, but it's rare that you see a film. I feel kind of bad about this, but they start off with mama. I assumed that it was going to be somebody ahead of, like, over her.
Yeah.
And she was the one that was running shit the whole time. It's very rare that you see, like, she's just like a strong woman, and she's handling her shit, and she was, like,
absolutely,
in control of everything. She handled, like, she was very intimidating. Like, and it was nice to see, like, a woman portrayed that way.
I love Lena Headey. Like, she's great in this. She's fucking great as Cersei Lannister on Game of Thrones. And those are both, like, they're very similar. Like, they're just very, very strong women. And their characters, like, get a lot of hate. They're like, oh, she's a bitch. It's like, why? Because she doesn't put up with bullshit? Like, no, like, this is fucking awesome.
And
like,
it's nice
great
to see.
Character.
It's nice
absolutely.
To see. Like, how many times you see, like, where the woman is, the villain, quote unquote, and it's just like the dominant person throughout the whole film. Nobody's giving her shit. It's not like her position was never questioned throughout the whole movie.
Exactly. It was like none of those guys were like, fuck you, you're a woman. It's like, no, like literally, like she snapped her fingers.
Yes.
And like she had like just that army of dudes. Like they're like, yep, let's do it.
She was, it was very few women featured in the film.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for the most part, all of them were represented like in the, I don't know how this has got
absolutely.
Real feminist. Feminism.
one thing I was glad though, because I was worried when they took her, because that set me off thinking, like it was a very interesting thing in that, and then they captured her, and I thought, oh fuck, now he's gotta go save her.
Yeah.
And then she saved him.
But yeah, exactly. She comes to the rescue, like that damsel in distress thing flipped around.
Right.
Well, and even Dredd's boss, the chief. Justice is a woman, which is fucking awesome. It's not,
man. This movie is a very quintessential. What generation are we in?
I guess they get lumped in with millennial bullshit or whatever.
But all right,
Generation Y, I guess.
I just say it's like a very like progressive movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It is.
You know what I'm saying? It's very like it's not it's subversive, but I think it's you should it should be seen.
Well, and going back to Mike's comment with the,
I mean, this
the
is a fucking action movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dredd is so black and white in everything. Like, that's part of his character. And Anderson is that moral gray area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when she lets, the albino ginger dude go.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, you see it, like, and you even see it throughout. Like, Mama just torturing him, like, making him do shit, basically.
Yeah.
And, like, Dredd would have just, like, fucking killed him, and then when she kills the father earlier on, like and they meet the family,
nah,
and she's just like,
that,
see that weighing on her.
That was one thing I didn't think they needed the psychic part to show.
She's
gonna see the picture.
I think that was more there, because I don't think you would have made the
you wouldn't have. You had to show a flashback, but you didn't need to go. Pew. Yeah, any words you read someone's mind, there's that, like,
white. Yeah, like, that, like, little ripple. Yeah. I think it's a cool little effect. Like, I always appreciate cool. when they go something, like, extra with that. But, yeah, that I thought that was really good. Because, like, honestly, if I had seen that picture the first time, I probably wouldn't have made the connection that that was the right. guy that she shot in the head in, like, earlier right. when she had to judge him.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Yes.
Like, I have a fascination when, like, you know, you had, like, the headshots
uh-huh.
in movies. Because yeah. it's, like, it's always kind of... setup is just like you could shoot somebody like in the chest uh-huh. or yeah. shoot somebody in the arm or something like that, but like the headshot is like a very big shot, like yeah. they pause, it gets real quiet yeah. it's like, are they gonna yeah. shoot him in the head, are they not gonna shoot him in the head? But
yeah, there's that finality to it,
yeah, but it's like, hey, you just shot people all up in the chest. Like, why, yeah. why are you making... You just killed people. Like,
yeah.
killing, that's a big deal. So, I mean, like, once you kill a person, I don't really think it's that much of a room between, you know, shooting up somebody in the torso and me shooting somebody in the head.
Right,
I feel
right.
like once I break that brooch of shooting somebody,
yeah.
then, you know, like... You know, it wouldn't be that difficult to shoot a person
yeah.
in the head.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you can shoot somebody in the chest. So it won't necessarily kill them, though.
Headshot. It won't. Like, it, yeah. No, the head. But you can shoot somebody in the head and it won't kill them.
9 times out of 10, you're going to.
You go. Are.
Yeah, maybe it's like the finality of that. Because, yeah, you hit
well,
the
like,
head.
Even Dredd, like, he gets gut shot.
Yeah.
Which, like, it doesn't kill him, but it's definitely enough to, like, he's down for the count nah, until yeah. Anderson comes and saves his ass.
Yeah. I didn't love that the other judges, like, there was, like, a little bit of a conspiracy. I mean, it was kind of cool to watch the judges fight the other judges, but... Because wasn't that one of the things in the first one? In the Stallone one? Was it, like...
Yeah, we got... Yeah.
Wasn't that whole plot, like, a conspiracy?
Ish. I think it was done more shitty. Like, this... it wasn't even a conspiracy. It was just crooked cops.
Yeah, just dirty cops.
Like, and it's so much more understated. It's so much more subtle, I think. Then, like, cause, like, Jürgen Prochnow now is, like, one of the villains in the yeah. first one, in the Stallone one. And, yeah, it's, like, this whole thing. It's, like, he's masterminding this bullshit to make Judge Clunzer. But it's so fucking stupid.
Well, like I mean, in general, in, like, in actual life, it's drug dealers that pay off the police.
Exactly,
it's
like yeah. cops. Like, they were cops yeah.
so
that were
dynamic,
the take
that point. Dynamic, I mean, I felt like it flowed. I mean, because you got this... You know, it kind of seemed like the judges are kind of similar, but then you have yeah. also these judges who have their own agenda. So it's obviously some
yeah.
type of corruption.
And I think that's part of why, like, by the end of it, like, Dredd passes Anderson. Because, yeah. like, yeah, like, she didn't make it the grade, but then look at these guys who did make the grade, and then look how easily they fucking turned on it.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, Sizzle, like, Dredd's whole thing, it's like that thing in, like, the Batman, like, the Dark Knight movies. Like, the whole idea is, like, he's a symbol. Like, he's incorruptible.
Yeah.
The other judges, not so much.
Yeah. Dude, it was fucking good.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah. I enjoyed it. It was, it's nice to see, like, a good action movie, man.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot
of them. Yeah. When they're done well, I love them so much. Like, I unapologetically, I love some bad ones. I'm a huge Statham fan.
Nah, yeah.
Like,
I mean,
love the Crank films.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're fucking ridiculous as shit.
Yeah.
I think one of the other great things about this movie is how contained it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's all one setting for the most part, and it's all, like, over the span of a couple hours. Like, it's like a Die Hard or, like, the Raid Redemption type movie.
And you get the sense that that's Judge Dredd's, like, all right, I did that today. What am I doing tomorrow?
Like, yeah, like this. Like this
is routine.
This is just a day in the life of a street judge. Yeah.
And Mama is not that, like, she's just another criminal.
Yeah,
really
exactly.
It's just
yeah,
another...
it's not like a Hans Gruber, like,
right.
mastermind level thing. It's like...
But, I mean, she arguably is, but at the same time, she's not.
Yeah, exactly. Not, yeah. Like, it literally, like, it boiled down solely to Anderson saying, oh, we'll tackle peach trees.
Yeah.
Like, it was
yeah.
completely
not
random.
Nah, yeah. It's just like, I whatever you put up in front of me, I have to deal with it, so I'll take it on.
Right.
Oh, man.
Judge Dredd is a symbol of, I don't know.
Justice.
Yeah, justice.
Yeah, I feel like very, like, American. Like, I just felt like... And there was... What I also loved, there was no sexual dynamic between...
No, not at
but
all.
But there was, like, the father-daughter.
Yeah, yeah, it was like
yeah,
a mentor.
Definitely, like,
it
the mentor-mentee.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Because
there's definitely a love angle in the Stallone one, and I think that's part of what kind of crimps that movie a lot,
yeah.
too.
Because it's just
like... don't shoehorn in a love story. Like, Dredd
yeah.
doesn't give you... Like, Dredd is the law. Like,
yeah.
that's what he is.
I mean, yeah. He's straightforward.
every time I watch this, when Carl Urban is doing the speech over the PA, I get chills every time he says, "I am the law." Like, when Stallone does it, like, it's like, "I am the law." It's like, but, like, he's just menacing and, like, just, like, very low growly. I was like, oh, God. Like, is it weird if I come over this? it's one of my absolute favorite movies in any movie I've ever seen. Dude, like,
so sweet. Matt, you know what? And another thing, this is a remake, quote-unquote, of the first one.
A reboot, basically.
Yeah, reboot. But, and it's a lot of, you know, it is a lot of bullshit, like, remakes that don't need to be remade.
Yeah.
But, when I feel like, and this has been explored on other podcasts, I think I heard it, like, this guy from ESPN, Bill Simmons, he's mentioned this. But, like, I don't have a problem if people, like, if you make the first make of it was shitty.
Yeah.
If you remake it, you can, like, I don't think nothing's wrong with that, pretty much.
No, absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying? Because, especially if you have something with, like, a very broad, or like, a lot of material that you can choose from. Because, like, it sounds to me like this Dredd is a completely different movie than the first one.
Yes, absolutely. It's more self-contained, like, it's not overly elaborate. And that's Judge Dredd has been in publication for, almost 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember the specific year, but it originated in the 80s. Anthrax actually has a song based on the character called I Am the Law, which is a pretty cool song.
Okay.
But yeah, he originated in the 80s in a comic series called 2000 AD. And it was a British comic. Like, he's a British comic book character. Like, he's not British in this, he's in America, but, like, his origins is British. Like, he's in this British magazine.
Which makes sense, because I feel like I've never been to Britain, but everything I've seen from there, very good, like, keen sense of rules. These are what you gotta... I mean, British comedy seems a lot to be about, like, social faux pas and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And part of what I like about this, too, this Dredd has a lot more in common with the reboot Punisher that they did a couple years ago, Punisher Warzone with Ray Stevenson, where, again, like, they're that black and white, like, you're a criminal... I kill you. Like, that's how this goes. And, like, the first two times they tried the Punisher, like, it's just not as great. Like, the Tom Jane one, I like Tom Jane as the Punisher, but, like, he spends half the movie like, oh, I'm going to trick John Travolta into killing his wife. And I was like, no, you're the Punisher. Punish them, you idiot.
Yeah.
And that, like, the Ray Stevenson one is just, like, a ballet of violence. Again, like, that's the word I would use to describe it. Have you guys seen Punisher Warzone?
No, I haven't. I wanted to see it because, I've always been intrigued by it, just the...
That's going to fucking happen. Probably not today.
Right.
But
okay.
That's going to happen. Bye. I love Punisher Warzone. I feel like they're very similar, at least in terms of the main character.
Uh-huh.
And again, it's just beautiful violence. I think Warzone is actually more over the top than this is. Yeah. But yeah, they're both fucking great. I can imagine
that. Oh, yeah.
Did you have any other notes, Mike?
No, not really. No. Pretty much. Oh. At one point, and this is, I don't know, more of an inside joke, but I really sympathize with him on the Troikas.
Yeah.
Because you and I have been playing Gears of War.
Yep. Our campaign through the Gears of War trilogy.
And it was like, oh, bro, I feel you. This is such a bitch. It was just... that was a good scene, too. That was
amazing. Like, he evades all that gunfire, and then she sends her guys after him. Here's a couple of gunshots, and then, like, he just walks out, throws her flunky off the railing, like, down to the floor, and then, without a word, just turns and walks back into the darkness. Yeah. Like, oh, God, like, there's so many of these moments nailed this character.
They did a really good job with this one.
Yeah, I was watching the credits this time. Alex Garland wrote this, guy that wrote 28 Days Later.
Okay.
He's worked with Danny Boyle a lot.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 28 Days Later was pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, 28 Days Later is fucking amazing. Not a sequel to 28 Days starring Sandra Bullock, though.
Right.
That's really cool. I was reading something with Urban there. They're pushing to try and do a second one, which
I'm not going to lie. Sick. That would be one of the, like, it's a very few movies where... I want to
see more of this character.
I would like to, and
like I said, like, 30 years in print, like, the universe of Judge Dredd is so fleshed out. Like, they like, and again, this was a day in the life of Judge Dredd. Like,
right.
The, like, it doesn't even begin to tap into the world, like, into it's the
so
characters.
I got so many questions. Like, it was, I really enjoyed it, and it left enough of, like, a sensation, but like, I want to know more.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not like that where it's too much, where it's like, oh, man, I didn't get what I wanted. Like, I got what I wanted, but now I need a little bit more loving.
Like, there's stuff in the Stallone Dread. Like, there's really great story elements they pull from, and then they just botch it in the execution. Like, they go into the Scorched Earth, which is the area outside of Mega City. It's basically, like where a lot of, like, the mutants live and stuff. Like, there's, like cannibal families and stuff like that. So all this really fucking cool post-apocalyptic shit, and we're in this mega complex for the entire movie. So, like, we don't even get an inkling of that outside.
Right. That might have been... I kind of want to go see the Stone now just to see it, but I think that might have been... I think that was a problem back in the day in general. Like, they would try to make the whole universe happen in one movie.
Exactly,
Then it's like, it's... You know, instead of just like, all right, we're going to just take this one thing, focus on this just to, like, set a foundation. And then if we're able to kind of build from this, then we can kind of really explore
definitely.
This world.
Yeah, definitely.
I
feel like you should. Like, or even, like, and there are ways that you can, like, you can do that in a single movie. Like, granted, like a movie like Star Wars, like, it was obviously meant to be an ongoing series. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to, Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Perfect
yeah.
example.
Yeah.
Like, they build a very unique world. Granted, a lot of it's heavily inspired by Blade Runner, but, like, they're on, like, four different planets over the course of that movie. You get an idea for what life is like in the future. You get an idea for what that world is like. You get an idea of the popular culture in the future. Because they go to a fucking opera show.
Chris Tucker is in that, man. He has, like, he's the craziest hairdo.
Chris Tucker is a radio personality in the future.
Hold on. Chris Tucker is probably the direct influence on me, like, knowing that I would eat pussy.
Yeah.
Because there's a scene in there where he's eating a girl's pussy.
On the plane,
On the plane. And I was like, I always remember being a kid, like, what is he doing down there?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's...
He was using his hair.
Dude, that's another movie I like. I don't like the story very much. Like, I feel like the dialogue's a little stilted. I mean, but I love... I love watching that movie.
It's a really great, it's a really fun film, and I love Luc Besson, too. Like, I will watch anything that he either directs or has a hand in writing. He also did The Professional, which is another one that I fucking love. He either, like, co-produced or co-wrote, like, From Paris with Love. Came out a couple years ago, John Travolta. Really bizarre, over-the-top, like, action spy movie, but I like it a lot. He co-wrote... Taken and Taken 2, I think.
Which, I mean, you know, Taken is...
Taken is solid.
No, yeah. I
like, the
it.
Second
very,
one is whatever.
I didn't have any interest.
But, yeah. But, so, it's like, you can build a unique world within a single movie.
Yeah.
And, like, but without making it feel forced in. I will say the Stallone Dread, it's worth watching. I mean, I own it.
Yeah.
It's terrible, but it's, like, it's that fun, enjoyable kind of bad that, like, you can go back to and watch every now and then. So I do. Like, I'll watch it every now and then. So we'll figure out a time to watch the original. But, this seriously, the year it came out, it was in my top five movies of the year. That was, like, 2012. I'm trying to think, like, what other bullshit, like, Oscar movies came out that year. Like, I can't even think. Probably, like, We Bought a Zoo or some bullshit.
Right.
Like, it's like, is Dredd not up for an Oscar? Is Dredd not up for every Oscar ever? Because
it should be.
Yeah,
it was good. It was really, really good.
There was something I caught this time that I'd never noticed before. I don't know if it's intentional or not. There's a very subtle RoboCop homage. And it's when they're standing outside before, like, they do that stun bang. And, like, they shoot, like, all the guys that are standing outside the med facility.
Yeah.
But he's just there. He's like, you have 20 seconds to comply. Which is, in RoboCop, it's when you first see the Ed 209, and they're at the border, was like, you have 20 seconds to comply, and the dude puts down the gun, and then the Ed 209 ends up shooting the guy to shit anyway because of, like, a malfunction.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's cool. And they ended about the same way.
Yeah.
A bunch of people got shot to shit, so that was really cool. Awesome. Anything in closing to say about Dredd?
No, great movie.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm glad you guys liked it. Seriously, one of my favorite movies. Just so fucking good.
I give it 8 snaps in D formation.
Yeah, except in deformation.
D for dread.
Awesome, cool. Dread, great movie. And again, just I am the law. just repeat it every night. Carl Urban is your new guy. Hail Mary, full of grace, I am the law. Cool. Gross. All right. Kamari, Mike, thank you guys for stopping in and doing it with me today. And we'll catch you all next time.
Peace.
See you.
Join us next time on the podcast when Jackie Manti and I tackle the John Cusack film High Fidelity. Enjoy two episodes a week as we lead into our very first live episode of How Have You Not Seen This with the movie Ghostbusters at Shadowbox Live in Columbus, Ohio. Like the page on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, leave us a review, send any questions, comments, suggestions for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com, and we'll catch you the next time.